Elissa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend on our show. Each week we deliver some of the biggest names in sports. However, on this particular program, we are excited to have joining us one of the biggest and best names in all of entertainment. Hey, my four-year-old recognizes his voice as Mater on the movie Cars, but us as adults, we know and love him as Larry the Cable Guy, Mr. Get Her Done. Larry, what a pleasure to have you on with us this weekend. You got a lot of folks that love you down here in Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'd be amiss if I didn't start out going, get her done. One time, I do it on stage when I do my live shows. I say get her done once in the beginning and once in the end. And I say once in the beginning because I know they want me to say it. And I always say that'd be like, if I didn't say it at all, that'd be like going to see Skinner and it didn't do Freebird, you know?
Outstanding. Hey, Larry the Cable Guy, along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Let's start off. First of all, I want to congratulate you on the huge success of your latest project in the show titled Only in America with Larry the Cable Guy. It's on the History Channel Tuesday nights. And when you start watching it, it's obvious that you've been racking up a lot of frequent flyer miles and traveling all around the nation and kind of pulling back the curtain on the, you know, the people, the places, the things that makes this nation's history unique. Tell me about what was the inspiration behind this, and Larry, how did this all come together?
Well, you know what? The history said they had a show that they thought they would like me to do, and I looked at the show, and it's pretty funny because I have a little bit in my routine where I talk about how I don't like to watch the news anymore because it kind of takes away my pride in the country because they only cover all the garbage, you know?
Right.
But I travel as a comedian, you know, I travel to all 50 states and I see everybody and basically everybody, it's still a great country and there's still good people out there. You never hear from most of them, no, because they're trying to achieve the American dream and work and give their kids a better life. You only hear from the loudmouths, they ain't got nothing better to do. And so I thought it'd be a good opportunity just to go around and show everyday American life and show why our culture is so great and what makes the country tick. And that's pretty much what the show's about.
Larry, what kind of feedback have you been getting from some of the fans?
Oh, real good. You know, they really like the show. I mean, it opened the second highest rated show ever on history, and it's maintained real good numbers. And people like the show. You know, they really enjoy it, and I'm glad that they do. I like it. It's a good, lighthearted look at everything, and I'm glad history gave me the opportunity to do it. There's always a few jugheads out there who don't like nothing to do, but you can't worry about them.
I have to ask you, Larry, did you play a role in determining where some of these episodes were going to be aired at? I mean, did you have a curiosity as far as across the 50 states? Was there somewhere in particular that you definitely wanted to shoot the program?
Well, you know, there was just a couple of things that I really wanted to do. The rest of it, I let them pick because I kind of wanted to be surprised. It's non-scripted, you know, so I wanted everything to be as spontaneous as possible. So, they picked most of them, but the stuff I was interested in, I did. Like, I did the Houston Rodeo, and, you know, I grew up next to a cattle barn, and a lot of people don't know that lifestyle, and so I wanted to do a thing on a cattle barn and the local cattle auctioneer, because America is the only country that has the auctioneer that does all that wacky language.
Yeah.
And so nobody ever understands why they do that. So I wanted to do a show on that. And so there was a few shows that I picked that I was animate about doing. But the rest of it, no, they pretty much just kind of surprised me.
I especially enjoyed the episode where you went to Vermont, the history of etiquette on Emily Post Airs. A complete lesson. Who knew that you would get an etiquette lesson on technology, when and when not to be on the cell phone? And Larry, you made me blush. I mean, you actually admitted of being guilty of talking on the cell phone when you're on the commode. What were you thinking, Larry?
Well, you know, I was learning etiquette. So, we just thought that'd be a pretty funny show because it's completely, when you think of etiquette class, you don't think of me. So we just thought that'd be kind of a funny story. But they were real nice people, and they played along good. And it was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot. You know, I learned a lot about etiquette. Even though I think it's kind of goofy that you have to have a fork here and a fork on that side and a spoon on that side, I think it's kind of goofy. But you know, I'm glad they're out there. I mean, they serve a purpose. And that's the great thing about the country. Everybody has a certain thing that they do, and you can participate in it if you want to, and you don't have to if you don't want to. So.
Well, Larry, I know you're on your cell phone right now. I certainly hope you're not on your commode, right?
No. If I was on that, I'd be talking to you like this. So, yes, no. I'm not on that.
Okay, Larry the Cable Guy with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We know him well. We are talking about his brand new show that is a big time hit. He is the host of Only in America on Tuesday nights on the History Channel. But I think one of the best episodes is when you go water skiing. And I have to tell you, Larry, you look kind of shiny in that skin tight orange Speedo. What'd you think about that? And how'd you feel after doing some water skiing?
Water skied in 20-something years. I mean, they got me doing stuff that thin people should do. But I got to tell you, that's how good of a performance artist I am. I actually put on weight to do the show so it would look funnier. You know, I go all out. Just like when I did Mater, you know, I knew I was playing the tow truck, put on 1,700 pounds, you know, just to get into the character. You know what? It was a lot of fun. I'm not a big water skier, and I look at the pictures of it now, and I'm so dang I'm out of shape. But I gotta be honest with you, it wouldn't be as funny if I was a shape fellow. So,
you need to huddle up with our buddy Jason Peter and go get in that weight room, right, Larry?
Yeah, right. I'll outlift him. I lift him over my head.
All 6'5" of him. Larry the Cable Guy along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And you talked about it just a moment ago as far as one of the episodes, you guys went to Houston. And I don't know, I enjoy watching the rodeo and bull riding. Now, you didn't get on a bull, but you were in the barrel. I mean, that got you pretty disoriented, didn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not big on, I get dizzy and stuff, you know. I get pretty dizzy, so I'm not a big fan of getting in a barrel. But I love rodeo. I mean, I've been around rodeo forever. My family was in it. You know, my sister, she retired after 23 years. They had a big ceremony for her. You know, nobody could stay on her for almost 19 straight years. But I'm a big fan of the rodeo, and I wanted to do a show on the rodeo clowns and the bullfighters. And they got me in that barrel, and that bull come at me. And I literally, that was the first show I actually taped for History. And I got so daggum dizzy, I had to lay down for 2.5 hours.
Really?
The funny thing was, Lady Antebellum was performing that night. And so they were on stage doing a sound check and singing some songs, and I go wandering on stage like I was drunk or something because I was really dizzy. And they said, Larry, what's going on? I said, you guys, I love you. I know you're in sound check, but I'm going to lay right here and get over a dizzy spell. And so I laid there on stage while they were singing their songs.
Well, I have to ask you, how in the world did you get in the barrel? Because you're I'm going to kind of guess your way around 250, 260. I mean, how tall are you? I mean, that's pretty.
I'm 5 foot, 10 and a half.
Okay.
180 pounds. And that was the thing. I wasn't as worried about the bull hitting me as I was being able to get out of the barrel.
Yeah.
But, you know, it made for a good show. I got in. I got dizzy. I did things for this show I never thought I would never do on my own. You know, I did it for the fun of the show. But, yeah, I got myself into some predicaments.
You certainly did. And also eating Rocky Mountain oysters. All I got to ask you is, did that taste like rattlesnake or what was that like?
Chicken. Everything tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken? Especially when you're dipping it in some ranch dip or something. Or did you?
Believe me, that's how I got to do it. You got to dip it in ranch dip or you can't get through it. It was better than human oysters, I'll tell you that.
Larry the Cable Guy with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We're going to talk about his favorite team, his Nebraska Cornhuskers, here momentarily. But, you know, one of the things, Larry, we always do in our program is, you know, some of the most successful athletes or coaches or sporting personalities, we talk about how they got their big break. And that's what I want to direct our interview now is talk about how did you become this megastar in comedy, Larry the Cable Guy? When did this all start? I mean, did you have, you know, visions of doing this as a young boy growing up in, Pawnee City, Nebraska?
No, I never did. And that kind of goes back to my whole theme of my show, Only in America, with Larry the Cable Guy. You know, this was something that I developed up on stage. I grew up in a pig farm, and I grew up around, you know, stock people. And when I moved to Florida when I was 15, you know, I hooked all the Florida crackers and ended up going to college in Georgia. And the accent was really easy for me to get in and out of because that's how I talked when I was with my buddies, you know. But then I met Jeff Foxworthy in the mid-1980s, and, you know, we just kind of started writing jokes together, and that's how they came out. But I would call a radio station, and I pretended to be a cable guy, and they said, "What's your name?" And I just threw out the name Larry, and it just kind of stuck, you know. And it was actually a point in time when I really got sick of doing it because I was calling a radio station, you know, at 5:30 in the morning twice a day doing this stuff, and I wasn't getting paid to do it, and it was kind of a hassle, actually, you know, because I was a road comedian. And then, but it goes along with the theme of the show Only in America. I enjoyed doing it, and I knew if I eventually kept working at it, then maybe something will pop, who knows. But I did commentaries, social commentaries on radio stations for 13 years, 5 days a week.
Wow.
And that just goes to prove why America is such a great country. If you really work hard at something and you dedicate yourself to something and you work hard and you create your own breaks, you can't lay in bed, you can't smoke pot all day, and you can't go out. You know, you gotta create your breaks. You gotta treat whatever you do if you want to be successful in it. Even if it's entertainment, you got to treat it like a business. And if you don't treat it like a business, the odds of you getting popular are pretty slim. But Jeff Foxworthy told me a long time ago, that's why it's called show business. A lot of people like doing the show part. Nobody likes to do the business part. And he said, I'll show you people that are successful. They're the ones that excel not only in the show part, but the business part. And so that's what I did. I just worked my tail off, and I did as many things as I possibly could. And I used to go and fly places and pay my own airfare, and I wouldn't make a red cent, just hoping somebody would see me, just trying to create doors and open doors. And, you know, and if that wouldn't happen, there was so just doing that. There were so many other doors that were open to me that I could went in different directions altogether. But I stayed with stand-up because I really enjoyed it, and next thing you know, it just started popping for me. And that's a tribute to the country we live in, because this is the only country in the world where something like that can happen to somebody like me. And just goes to prove, you know, if you work hard and you got a good work ethic and you're good people, then you can pretty much get anything you want.
Well, Larry, you know, the comedy business, it's so tough to be a part of. I mean, how did you pay the bills?
Well, I did stand-up. I mean, I did comedy clubs. I had in my head when I first started, I really enjoyed doing it. And I said, well, how much do I really would be happy making out on the road? And you set your goal low, you know. Man, if I could just make $30,000 a year doing stand-up, well, I'll be happy. I'll do what I like. I'll make the money that I want. You know, and you
right.
kind of do it like that. You set goals for yourself, little goals, little attainable goals. Once you attain that goal, then you set your goal up a little higher. And so that's pretty much how I done it. And it just happened to break for me. So it's, you know, it's a really good thing. It's a credit to my fans. You know, you do what you do, and then you hope you find an audience for it. And I have kind of a strange sense of humor. You know, I like one-liner type jokes. I'm not into the political correct stuff. I mean, I love everybody, but funny's funny. I've always been to the point where I don't care what you say. If you somebody, because I always hear people always say, oh, I was extremely offended by something that so forth and so on said. And in my head, I'm like, well, you know what? Life is too short to be extremely offended at pretty much anything. If you don't like something, then you just don't listen to something, and you move on and you enjoy your life. So I just always, you know, I do jokes that I think that are funny. I mean, I try not to be hateful or hurtful, of course, but if I can do a joke that I find funny, I'll do it. And I'm just thankful that a lot of people have the same kind of sense of humor that I do. I mean, it's not rocket science, you know. My job on this earth, that's the profession I picked. The profession I picked is to make people laugh. And that's my job. And people are paying money to come laugh, and I enjoy making them laugh. And I got to tell you, if you can get away from your job and you can come in and see my show and forget about life for a while and the bad things that are happening and just have a good belly laughter, nothing wrong with that in my book.
Well, you certainly, Larry, are living the dream. And you definitely, as you said, you know, sometimes people can be overly sensitive, but you find a way to connect with your audience. And I have to ask you, you know,
that's because my audience is awesome.
That's right. Your audience is awesome.
Comedians, I tell you what, I get emails all the time from comedians. They always want to work with me because they want to get in front of an audience that likes to laugh and they're not judgmental. That's my crowd.
There you go. What about as far as, you know, who did you try to pattern yourself after? I mean, you have your own way. As you said, you love one-liners, but Steve Martin, I mean, who were some of the guys that you kind of looked to as far as within comedy?
I really enjoyed Steve Martin, obviously.
Okay.
It was the first comedy album I really ever bought back when I was 12, I think. I bought Let's Get Small.
Okay.
I believe that was 1976, 75, 76 or 77, something like that. Maybe 78, I can't remember. But I always liked him, but I was always a fan of the old-time comics. I love Bob Hope, and I love Benny Youngman, Milton Berle, and, you know, Charlie Callis, who just passed away, bless his heart. He was in a ton. He did my Christmas specials with me, and, I mean, I liked all the old guys. I liked that old vaudeville style of humor. And Steve Martin came, and Don Rickles. I really liked Rickles.
Yes.
You know, but... that's the stuff that I've always really liked. And Steve Martin came along, and then I always used to listen to, you know, Hee Haw. I love Hee Haw, and I love
Buck Owens and Roy Clark.
Love that.
Yes.
You know, I love that style of comedy. And then I like the bizarre, too. I like the Monty Python Flying Circus. And so, you know, that's just kind of... Everything I do kind of developed out of all that stuff. You know, some of it's real clever, some of it's real stupid. Some it's just a good eclectic mix of everything that I find funny.
Well, let's move forward as we quickly get ready to wrap up our interview. The other passion and love of your life is talking about your Cornhusker football program. They are headed to the Big Ten Conference. Larry, what's your pronostications? You think they're going to be 13-0 and get a big national championship anytime soon?
Well, I don't know, talking about the Huskers in Fort Worth, that may not be a good thing for me right there.
That's right, because TCU is in our backyard.
Well, I know how everybody's so passionate about their sports, but they, you know, once you're born in a state that's got a big football team, you've got to be faithful to that team. So I think that's a good thing. But you know what? I've always been a Big Eight guy. I'm used to playing the same team since 1928 or whatever it is. I mean, since I've been born and remember Nebraska football every year, it was Iowa State and Oklahoma every Thanksgiving. And, you know, I miss those traditional, I've always missed the traditional Nebraska-Oklahoma Thanksgiving rivalry. Then the Big 12 came along and you know, it was fine. Then I got used to that because we still got to play our regular Big Eight schedule. It's going to be, you know what, I'm glad we're going. I mean, it'll be kind of cool to see some new teams. I mean, so, yeah, it'll be kind of cool. But, you know, in all honesty, it ain't putting any more money on pocket. So, you know, somebody said that to me one time. I always used to get, whenever Nebraska would lose, I'd always get disappointed. But I had a buddy of mine put that in perspective one time. He said, look, whether Nebraska wins or Nebraska loses, it ain't putting any extra money in your bank account. You know, life's short to get all. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I want them to win all the time because it's a pride thing with me. Growing up in a small town in the state of Nebraska, that's all you have. And, you know, and you just love the team. They represent you. And they represent your lifestyle of how you grew up. And so you obviously want them to win because it's just a good thing for you. Sometimes you don't win them all, but you know what? Life goes on. Life's short. Enjoy every minute of it, that's what I say.
Well, Larry, you're talking my language. You said you're a Big Eight guy. I'm a Big Eight gal, played basketball for the Sooners, and that's one thing that I am going to miss as you guys go to the Big Ten Conference is that, you know, that great rivalry, the great respect. Jason Peters talked about it many times on our program between Oklahoma and Nebraska. I certainly hope they try to keep it alive. Did you come down here to Cowboys Stadium for the Big 12 Conference Championship with Nebraska and OU?
No, I did. I sure wish I could have, but I was working that night, but I was doing a show, but I sure would have liked to have seen the last one live. You know, I've only got to see two Nebraska-Oklahoma games, and that was back in the 80s. So I sure wish I could have seen that one live, but I didn't get to see it. No, I take that back. I've seen more than that, because I've seen five. I've seen three in the 90s. No, I've seen three in the 2000s.
Got to get all those numbers right there. Larry the Cable Guy with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is actually going to be headed down to this part of our country. I understand you're going to be performing at the Windstar Casino April the 2nd at 8 o'clock for a performance. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy working the casinos. They've always been good to me, and my fans are just great. And I you know, people always say, where's the most favorite place you've been to perform? I'll be honest with you. Everywhere I go and my crowd comes out is a good time. So I'm sure that'll be no exception when I come down there. So.
Well, Larry, you have an incredible...
Hey, by the way, you mentioned Jason Peter. Jason Peter needs to be on some sort of a football staff. He's by far, I think, one of the greatest sports prognosticators in the world.
Well, he's got a great...
Did I say that right? Prognosticators?
Prognosticators, Larry. Hey, he's got a great defensive mind. I think he's phenomenal as a broadcaster. That's why we want him to be a part of the program. And I'm glad you bring him up because I understand, set football aside for just a moment, I understand he's taught you a thing or two out on the golf course. You're teeing it up these days, aren't you, Larry?
Well, Jason's my golf partner. We go out and we do a bunch of golf. And I didn't get into golf until about 2 years ago. And so I used to go with Jason. He used to go out by himself. And so we just kind of hooked up. And I started learning how to play. And I got to tell you, I don't know if I'm getting better or he's getting worse. I can't figure it out. But I've been hanging with him lately. I feel bad for him. You know, here he taught me some good stuff. And I'm kind of leaving him in the dust.
Hopefully you can get yourself down to a single-digit handicap. I've been watching on the Golf Channel, you know, the Hank Haney Project with Rush Limbaugh. He needs to sign you up and maybe be working with you, Larry. There's your next project, my dear.
You know what? I would love to do that. I actually have my manager already inquired about that. I think it would be a fun show to do. But, yeah, I enjoy watching. I was actually on the Golf Fix. They had me on the Golf Fix one time trying to fix my swing, which was kind of cool. I got a charity event down here at Grand Cypress in Orlando for the Get Her Done Foundation, and I was swinging some balls. Next thing you know, I'm watching the Golf Fix, and they got me on the Golf Fix.
That is incredible.
So they were filming me.
Larry, you are everywhere, and of course, we look forward to the month of October. Jason Peter's Celebrity Golf Tournament is going to be benefiting your outstanding foundation, the Get Her Done Foundation. I know you're looking forward to teaming up with your good Husker buddy.
Yeah, I definitely am, and that's nice of Jason to do his charity event to me as well, and our foundation does a lot of great things. And Jason is just one of my really good, dear friends, and so, yeah, that's real nice of him to do. But I'm looking forward to the tournament, and I just hope he plays better. I just feel bad when I beat him.
Well, I'm sure he will. My final question for you is, what are you working on right now, Larry? You've got, what, Tooth Fairy 2, a sequel to Tooth Fairy 1, is that right?
Yeah, what this is, I'm in the process of filming it right now. I'll start it here in about 40 minutes. I'm filming the sequel to Tooth Fairy, the one that had Dwayne Johnson in it. This is Tooth Fairy 2, same people, Fox, and Fox Movies, and filming in Orlando. Got 1 week to go, and I got to tell you, it's really funny. So I think people will really enjoy it. If they like the first one, they'll definitely like the second one, because I think it's got 10 times more laughs in it.
I'm just, you know, getting a visual of seeing you running around in either pink or purple tights with a little tutu on. I'm sure you look pretty smoking, Larry.
Well, let's just say, don't eat before you see it.
We look forward to coming out. Larry, thank you so much for coming on, and we look forward to catching up with you in Lincoln at Jason's tournament this fall.
Hey, sounds good. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and join us online at eradiosports.com.